Today marks 200 years since the death of a great American patriot and Bostonian. Guess which one?
Paul, he jumped on his old horse and he lit out, holding on for dear life and hollering at the top of his lungs. He says, "The British is coming, the British is coming. Get you a gun, we're going to have us a revolution."
That's the late actor Andy Griffith retelling the story of the 1775 midnight ride of Paul Revere. But this morning, on the anniversary of Revere's passing, we share another lesser-known story. It's about Paul Revere as a great American innovator.
Revere had ridden in one revolution, and he was contributing to a second one, the Industrial Revolution.
That's Olin College professor Robert Martello, the author of a new book titled Midnight Ride, Industrial Dawn, Paul Revere and the Growth of American Enterprise.
Welcome to the Paul Revere House. If you guys have any questions, feel free to ask me.
We met Martello at the Paul Revere House in the north end of Boston, where visitors walk inside to get a glimpse of the late patriot's 18th century life and preserved living space.
He grew up in the working class section of Boston and in an artisan family. So his father was a silversmith, and he learned a working class lifestyle growing up and learned the trade of his father until the age of 19, when he actually had to take over the business for his father when his father passed away.
While he enjoyed an impeccable reputation for fine silver craftsmanship, for the ambitious Revere, it wasn't enough.
He was hoping to rise into the upper classes of society, but from his artisan background, he couldn't quite make that work.
Revere thought his path to the upper class would come via a military career during the Revolutionary War, but that career came to an abrupt end after a horrible and humiliating defeat at the hands of the British in Penobscot Bay, Maine, which then was part of Massachusetts. Revere, a commander, was by many historical accounts accused of insubordination and was not cleared of those accusations for several years. But Professor Martello says Revere's setback was probably one of the best things to happen to him and for the country.
Oh, the Penobscot disaster shattered Revere's hopes of rising forward in our society. So after that, Revere, somewhat in defeat, had to return back to his silver shop and see if he could find a different way to rise in society. And that's what led him to all of his technological innovations.
How so?
Once he started returning to the shop and thinking of new ways to make his business successful, he filled in a lot of the gaps that our nation had. We didn't have to look to Great Britain as often for our products at that point, with people like Revere producing them domestically.
Revere's major contribution to American manufacturing was that he was one of the first people to use technology to mass-produce metal products. He cast bronze church bells, the Revere bells, so famous now. And as a successful early defense contractor, he also cast highly desired cannon and cannonballs for the fledgling U.S. Navy and military. But his greatest innovation was in copper.
We've moved to a part of the Revere House where there's a display case that has a number of Revere-made copper items in it. Paul Revere was the first American to roll sheet copper and risk bankruptcy in that pursuit. Explain why it's important.
Copper rolling was a guarded secret at this time. This was one of the high technologies of the armament industry. Paul Revere realized, as did the Secretary of the Navy, that America might be blockaded at some point. We might be at war with England. This is the country that was selling us these copper sheets. We needed to be able to fill that gap and produce our own goods.
Rolled copper was used in a variety of important ways, not the least of which was to line the hulls of wooden warships, such as the USS Constitution. It enabled the ships to travel faster on the water and spend more time at sea instead of in dry dock scraping barnacles off the wood. How did Revere gain the knowledge to develop this copper technology? Some of it he purchased. Some of it he stole in a bit of early American spying.
In terms of mastering copper rolling, you write that industrial espionage was going on here. You write that Paul Revere's son engaged in it, and in fact, Revere thought that this kind of spying was an important company asset.
Nowadays, when we talk about industrial espionage, you might be ashamed to admit that or not even admit it ever. In Revere's case, he was proud of it. So this was the year 1804, and Revere had been rolling copper into sheets for quite some time and had gotten to a point where he was trying to perfect the process. And where better to look than England? So he sent his son, Joseph Warren Revere, to England, posing as a merchant Joseph Warren Revere was able to talk his way into different shops, and he was able to get these answers and actually even smuggle some blueprints out of the country back to his father, Paul Revere. Paul Revere saw this as a form of patriotism. He was trying to shorten Britain's technological lead over America, and this was a very direct way of doing that.
Paul Revere, the Midnight Rider, the Revolutionary, the Silversmith, the Early Industrialist, the Spy, died on this day, May 10th, 1818. He never quite made it into the upper echelon of society as he had hoped, but in the end, Professor Martello says that might not have mattered.
He did reach the level of influence that he might have hoped for. He knew at the end he nailed it, that he figured out something that others couldn't, and he helped his country solve technological problems.
That was Robert Martello, author of the new book, Midnight Ride, Industrial Dawn, Paul Revere and the Growth of American Enterprise. WBUR's Yasmin Emmer produced this story.